This is the Hockey News Podcast.
So Ryan, it's late August. We are in the dog days. Like, these are the dog days of the summer, and I think there's no better time to return to the studio, come out of our vacations, say goodbye to our families, and do some season previews.
It is time.
I think it's great. I think at this point, the only thing that'll really happen here are PTOs kind of going forward, and obviously some RFAs that need to be signed that we'll get into. But boy, oh boy, we got some stuff. We are going to go over every division in the NHL.
Yes.
And we're going to start today with the Pacific. Mm-hmm. I think it's great. So why don't we kick it off? Let's do Anaheim. Anaheim Ducks. They had a bit of an interesting offseason. They had an active. They're starting to get to that point where, all right, let's actually get some real players in here. Let's build it. They handed way too many years and way too much money to Alex Killorn on July 1st, and they did the same thing with Radko Gudas, mm-hmm. which surprised us. We were expecting him to stay in Florida.
True.
And then also another one they did was they acquired Ilya Lyubushkin mm-hmm. The other day. A very interesting, hard hitting. Sort of offensively sort of limited, but right shot defenseman. What do you think about Anaheim moving into this season?
Yeah, I mean, I like what Pat Verbeek is doing here because I can sort of see the plan.
Yes.
Right? Well, like, you know, Killorn, Stanley Cup winner, obviously tons of experience. He'll be one of those veteran guys along with like an Adam Henrique and Cam Fowler on the back end that can really kind of shepherd the kids along. And, you know, on the back end, they obviously get tougher to play against
yes.
with Lyubushkin and Gudas in particular. What it also does, you know, one of Anaheim's strengths right now is obviously the pipeline. And, you know, we're going to see the return of Jamie Drysdale, who was an NHLer but missed pretty much all of last season due to injury. So you'll see him come back. But what do you do about Jackson Lacombe, Owen Zellweger, Pavel Minchikov? All great young blue liners looking to, break into the NHL. Bringing in guys like Gudas and Lyubushkin, and to a lesser extent, Robert Hague's there.
Robert
Hague,
yes. Yeah.
Is there's competition now. And I'm granted, you know, different kind of players. The veterans are pretty much defensive guys, where you're going to get a lot more offense from the kids. Although Lacombe is pretty rounded. Mm-hmm. What it does is it makes sure that if one of those kids is going to grab a spot, they have definitely earned it.
Yes, yeah.
And that's what you want with a young team is that competition. Up front, obviously, you know, guys like Trevor Zegras and Mason McTavish are going to drive the bus. But again, you know, like Leo Carlson was signed to his entry-level contract after they drafted him second overall this summer. So what's the plan there? Is he going to go to the AHL? He would.
He can go there. Yeah, you're allowed to.
He'd be down the road in San Diego, not too far, mm-hmm. where he can get used to the North American game. But is he a guy that just makes the leap in training camp?
Yeah.
You know, it's an unknown right now. I don't expect the Ducks to be in contention for a playoff spot. I think, you know, I mean, with John Gibson and net, they're going to be solid there. Mm-hmm. But this is still a team in transition. I see this as a year where you want some modest gains, but they're almost like the Ottawa Senators were a year or two ago, where you want things to be serious, but you know that you're not quite there yet. Mm-hmm. So you want competition for slots, you want the kids stepping up, and you want the veterans to be there for them. But to me, the expectations should still be modest.
Yeah, there's a certain point in a rebuilding team where, like, you lose enough games and that kind of becomes the culture. Mm-hmm. And it's really tough to shake that. We saw that in Edmonton with their original youth movement, right?
Yeah.
With the Hall and Eberle. Like, it was all about that, you know, like, we have this great young core and they'll build and we're rebuilding. But, like, they needed guys around them and they lost and lost and lost to the point where, like, that became their reality. And so I think what the Ducks are doing here is, like, some of these deals that they handed out, I would say a good chunk of the deals really they handed out, they're a little too long, a little too much money, but we're expecting the cap to go up. And then as well, these are guys who will be good mentors. Alex Killorn is a guy who has played like more playoff games than pretty much anyone in the last little bit. He's a two-time Stanley Cup winner. You know, him mentoring, you know, on a on a really, you know, a rainy or snowy February day in, I don't know, Minneapolis or something, where Leo Carlson's maybe like, oh, morning skate sucks, I don't want to do it. Like, he'll be a guy to kind of usher him through.
Right.
And same with, like, you know, Cam Fowler and Radko Gudas for guys, like you said, like Zellweger, Lacombe, guys like that, and Drysdale. But speaking of Drysdale and speaking of their youth movement, like, they have, this is a team that, yes, has a lot of cap space right now. They have almost $17 million. But they don't have Zegras or Drysdale signed. They're both pending RFAs right now. They're both, like, they don't have contracts moving into this season. Drysdale, I think, will be a little easier. He's not able to get an offer sheet. Like, he's a 10.2C RFA, so that's not able. And I think if he's been injured so much that I don't think he really has a ton of leverage to stand on, despite his amazing potential. But Zegras seems like a prime candidate to get, like, a Jack Hughes type, like, you know, sign him to, you know, to 8x8 or something like that right now, and then just sort of, like, watch him outperform it for the next little bit. But he's also a guy who likes to bet on himself, and that, like, getting these two guys signed, I mean, they need to heading into this season,
yeah.
And right now they're not.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned about it. You know, what's interesting is Jamie Drysdale was originally represented by Jeff Jackson, who is now in the Edmonton Oilers Brain Trust, so that might be part of it, is just getting that, you know, contract file moved over at Wasserman. But, you know, Zegras, I'm sure it's one of those things where they're taking their time, they want to get it right. As you point out, you know, the Ducks do have a lot of cap space.
Yes.
And, you know, we do have about a month until training camp. I'm sure it will get done, and it will be interesting to see which way they go. You know, does Zegras bridge it for a year just to see about cap space and a sort of prove me year for him? You know, can he take that leap like Jack Hughes did?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, Jack Hughes finished 99 points this past season and obviously made the Devils look very good. So can Zegers do the same in Anaheim? Maybe that's the question that him and his camp are pontificating on right now.
Absolutely, yeah, because, you know, this new breed of young star, right? They're very aware of their surroundings, you know? Like, Jack Hughes is a different situation where you sign him for long and you gave him a lot more money than he was, you know, worth at the time, because you're betting on potential. Zegras has already kind of proven that he's at least a top six forward, but he's a 65-point guy, kind of, you know, 25 goals. He's aware that if I really do take that next step, I could be in a double-digit type sort of, like, the average annual value for myself, whereas, like, if he signs for low now, he could be locked into a decade, the first decade of his prime, basically, being like, I was making less than I could have.
You know?
And I think that, you know, there are a lot of these new young stars, and we're seeing that with, you know, guys like Austin Matthews and stuff like that, who are very aware of their own value and they want to maximize it. But yeah, Zegras does have to take that next step. This team, it all goes to that. They have Troy Terry sign, and that's great. You know, and they have a lot of money coming off the books next year too, in Henrique and Silverberg. That's like $12 million basically coming off. So that's very good. And they don't really have any huge extensions kicking in that'll take up that. But Zegras is there's a reason why he was on the cover of, you know, NHL 23. There's a reason why he is talked about in the same breath as these Jack Hughes and Tyke Carey. He's one of the hot young stars in the league. He takes that step to being a point per game guy. You know, become someone who plays meaningful hockey games, because he has not in his career so far. And he can make himself a lot of money. But this team, as it's constructed right now, this is still a very, as the kids say, mid team, I would say. This is a team that is destined to finish. I'd say they have like a 20th place ceiling in the NHL.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although barring Leo Carlson becoming an absolute monster.
Right.
But then again, man, if any of these guys, like, even if like 75% of these guys, like their core, if they tap into something here, this is going to be a monster for years to come.
Yeah, I think they're building something nice here, and I like that they have weapons at all positions, but they're not there yet.
Yeah.
I would assume they're going to be one of the teams at the bottom of this division.
Yes, absolutely. All right, another team that could really go either way, I think, here is Calgary. Now, Calgary, the biggest move they made this offseason, it was not on the ice. It was behind the bench. They got rid of Daryl Sutter, and instantly half the roster rescinded trade requests. And it seemed like, you know, a harmony was struck. But, man, that, like, Daryl, we're now going to see just how toxic of an environment Daryl Sutter sort of, like, cultivated last season, and how much of the and how much of the problem that was, because I look at this roster, it's a decent roster.
It's a solid roster.
It's a very solid roster. The Calgary Flames, though, they literally, other than changing the coach, and that was clearly their bet on, like, all right, this is going to be our, like, this is going to be what sort of changes us and pushes us forward. They did nothing else. They got rid of Tyler Toffoli, who's like a borderline point per game, you know, winger, almost 40 goal scorer guy. And they got Igor Sharangovich, who's younger and signed to less money. But other than that, they signed Dennis Gilbert and Jordan Osterley, and that is it.
Yeah, and I think this is very much a Flames organization that wants to see what it has. And, you know, if you go back to this time last year, I think we were all pretty excited about the Flames.
Oh, yeah. It was the summer of Brad Tre Living.
That's right. They got Nazem Kadri. You know, they made the huge trade where they got Jonathan Huberdeau for Matthew Tkachuk and obviously Mackenzie Weegar as well. Mm-hmm. You know, Huberdeau is obviously the focal point here because he struggled under Daryl Sutter.
And his extension kicks in now.
Yeah. So I think for Huberdeau, what you're looking for is, you know, this guy should be an 85, 90 point guy consistently.
Yes.
Not what we saw last year. So, I mean, just right there, you're going to get, you know, a lot more offense up front. I'm interested to see what Matt Coronato can do. I think he's a very sort of versatile top six player, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, if he can seize a full-time NHL role. Also, Oliver Shillington's coming back on the blue line. You know, he missed last year in the player assistance program. Mm-hmm. He was speaking, I guess just a couple of weeks ago, about, you know, some of the mental health issues that he was dealing with. Mm-hmm. Great to see him dealing with that and being upfront about it. You know, before he stepped away from the game, he had become a very effective defenseman, particularly against Connor McDavid, because Shillington can skate. And he would, you know, I think he had kind of transitioned where originally we thought he might be an offensive defenseman when he was a prospect, but he'd really become more of a defensive guy that you could deploy against top guys. So I think him coming back will help them a lot. I really like their blue line. It's very dynamic in terms of not only skill set, but versatility. You've got guys that can do a lot of different things. And Jacob Markstrom, you know, obviously he has to bounce back. It was a really rough season for him. You know, there's a lot of Flames games where they were down 1-0 in the first sort of 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And I think that was very deflating. And then you couple that with, you know, Daryl Sutter being known as, you know, sort of an old school can be kind of a grumpy guy. I'm sure there was a lot of pressure on the players, especially, and, you know, when you get down, then your shoulders kind of sag. You know, Markstrom, I know, you know, he spoke with us for the magazine. You know, he knows what he needs to do. Mm-hmm. He wants to bounce back. He wants to be that guy again. I think he had a good summer. So, you know, I'm pretty bullish on the Flames because on paper, they look like a pretty good team. And it feels like last year was an aberration. Now it's just a matter of them going out and proving it in a division where I think, you know, they can pick up a lot of points. I'm not saying the Pacific's an easy division, but I think for a team like Calgary, they probably lost a lot of games that they shouldn't have last year.
Yes.
And with Ryan Huska now behind the bench deploying a different strategy, you know, just bringing a new voice, you know, I think that we're going to see a Flames team that it should be a playoff team.
Yeah, playoffs are, I mean, that's real. That should be the, like we were talking, like you said, we were talking about this team like a Stanley Cup contender at this time last year. And and now here they are, and we're like, they should like the playoffs should be the floor,
sure,
I think, for them.
Sure.
But yeah, there's a lot going on here. Like Jonathan Huberdeau, his extension kicks in now. He wasn't making $10.5 million a year when he had the I believe the biggest points fall off from one season to the next of any 100-point scorer.
Yes.
That was the big, like, he went from like 115 to 55.
Yeah.
Like
he set records twice in a row,
yeah,
and
but
only one of them was good.
Not for the right reasons, really. But you look at this roster, and this is great, but although this is, I would say, like the last sort of, like, I don't want to use last dance, but like this is, for this sort of like core-ish or what these players, like you look at the amount of people that are coming off the books next year. I mean, you have Backlund, Lindholm, you know, like a bunch of RFAs, and then Hanifin, Tanev, Zadorov, you know, like all of these guys, they're like this really, if you're going to make it work with this group, this is the year to do it. And then prove sort of that you can make it work with this group and try and re-sign these guys and whatnot. But yeah, they're it's going to be very interesting. Goal is the biggest thing, like you said. And Jacob Markstrom, like there were a lot of games I remember just seeing, because you can't watch every game, but every morning I would wake up and I would watch all the highlights, because the NHL has great sort of like 8-minute highlight packs. Mm-hmm. And every game seemed to end as the Flames outshoot their opponent, you know, like 45-26, and they lose 3-2.
Yeah.
Or they lose 4-3. And it just seemed like, and the last shot was Markstrom slamming his stick or something. Like he is the key here. We forget they were achingly close to the playoffs last year, even with their superstar, you know, losing like literally 65% of his points.
Yeah.
And even with their toxic, you know, sort of culture behind the scenes with their coach, they were that close this year with a good experience, a very well-liked guy in the organization. Mm-hmm. They have two well-liked guys now who have been in the organization for a long time,
yeah,
at GM and at coach.
Yeah.
It all, like that, they have a great sort of like outline or mm-hmm. sort of, I guess, bedrock for what they're going to do this season. But it all comes down to if their goaltender, if their guy who they're paying $6.5 million a year can keep the puck out of the net.
Indeed.
But yeah, I kind of like their off season of no movement, because getting Sutter out of the door was, I mean, that was like their big move. And also, you don't want to upset the apple cart more than that, you know?
Well, and with Craig Conroy coming in as GM, mm-hmm. you know, his job is to see what he has. And you pointed out all the free agents that are coming up. You know, this is very much a prove me year for this roster. It's like, do you want to be in Calgary, and can you be successful for us under Ryan Huska? So for Craig Conroy, this is a big first year where he can see what he has. And then he does have the luxury of saying, like, okay, well, if it doesn't work, I can make a pretty big roster move here because we have so many pending UFAs.
Absolutely. All right, going over to the other side of the Battle of Alberta, we have the Edmonton Oilers. And this is a team that absolutely, I think, is conference, like, should be conference final.
Certainly.
Like, floor, really.
Certainly.
And we've seen a lot of that over the offseason with Draisaitl and McDavid. They're spending a ton of time together this offseason. And they keep saying, we want to win here. Mm-hmm. And now I do believe that they have a roster that can bring them to where they are.
Yeah. And
where they want to go. Sorry.
I mean, we saw most of it last year. And, you know, obviously the offense is taken care of. David Draisaitl, you know, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins broke the 100-point barrier for the first time in his career. You know, a healthy Evander Kane will
Zach
help.
Zach Hyman.
Zach Hyman. It'll be interesting to see what
Connor Brown now?
Like. Yeah, Connor Brown was kind of like the quote-unquote big addition.
Yep.
And a very astute one, mm-hmm. because he is that sort of bottom six, middle six guy that, you know, he can kill penalties, he can do a lot of different things for you. You know, does a kid like Dylan Holloway step up?
Yeah.
You know, what can he do? A big body player that has some offense. You know, we've seen Evan Bouchard hit that next level. Certainly, you know, in the second half in the
playoffs. After Tyson Barrie vacated his role.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, now this blue line core, you know, Evan Bouchard is that guy that, you know, can do a lot. You know, Darnell Nurse obviously brings a lot of good qualities. Matthias Ekholm is back. He was a great fit after the deadline. For me, again, you know, it comes down to goaltending. You know, Stuart Skinner really bailed them out a lot last year. But Jack Campbell is a player that we've seen really run hot and cold during his NHL career. So, I mean, for me, I wouldn't be surprised to see Jack Campbell have a really great run. I would also not be surprised for him to kind of fade into a backup role. Mm. And maybe they go with Stuart Skinner kind of 60, 70% of the time. I think that's the big challenge in Edmonton right now is, you know, is there a 1A, 1B situation? Is it more that does Skinner become the starter? Does Jack Campbell get the starter's role back?
Mm-hmm.
That, I think, is going to be the big question of the first half, because otherwise, you know, you have all the pieces. You know, you've got some role players. You've got, obviously, the high end. You have guys like McDavid and Draisaitl that we know are far beyond driven. To make a Pantera reference.
You have two generational talents on your team.
Exactly. You have two of the best players in the world. And you
two
have
of the best players ever. Yeah. Like straight up.
Yeah. And you have a power play that was just...
It was the best power play ever.
Lava hot last year. And there's no reason to think it won't be again this season. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, the Oilers, you know, they're going to be in contention to win this division for sure. But I agree. Like, yeah, conference final for sure. And... You know, if they can get the goaltending, then, I mean, they should compete for a Stanley Cup.
Absolutely. Now, there are two things here with this roster that are sort of hitches in the giddy-up, if you will. Number one, like you said, is the goaltending. Mm. Like, you have, and these two kind of play into each other, and I'll do my best to do this eloquently. But, like, the goaltending is key because Jack Campbell sewered the first half of their season. Like, he's a nice guy. I've covered him for a year. He was great. But, like... You gave this guy, you know, like $5 million a year to be your starter. You thought you had that locked up, good, you know, like wipe your hands. And he was putting up like .860 goaltending for you for pretty much the entire first half of the season. Mm-hmm. And was pretty, like, one of the biggest reasons why a team with Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, all these guys we can go through, was not in a playoff spot for most of the season.
Yeah.
So he, that is, like you said, we've seen him be a Vezina caliber goaltender, and we've seen him be unplayable.
Yeah.
And Stuart Skinner jumped in that role and became an All-Star last year. Remember, we talked
All-Star
to him before.
Game.
All-Star game, yeah, sorry. But hey, look, he went to the All-Star game.
He went like, to the All-Star game, yeah.
You're not a bad player
exactly.
If you go to the All-Star game. And so, and yet, he did fade. Down the stretch and into the playoffs, where Jack Campbell was like basically going to take back the starting job in the middle of their do or die series of the second round. So that is huge. Like obviously you said, Jack Campbell needs to figure out what's going on with Jack Campbell because it plays into something else here, which is you talk about like the Oilers sort of like cheat code here. It really is their like we use this term cheat code, but it's like you know using Mike Tyson's punch out, or it's like you know all that is their power play. It was the best power play ever last year.
Yeah.
It was the best power play ever throughout most of the season. And then once Tyson Barrie vacated to Evan Bouchard, it became even better.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about, oh, okay, so Evan Bouchard's a big piece of their team. He's not signed right now.
Mm.
And they have, you know, the Oilers have $3.5 million in available funds right now. You have a goaltender who's making $5 million a year who... We are right now wondering whether or not he'll be playable this year. You add that salary, that's $8.5 million a year, even on a bridge.
Yeah.
That works swimmingly because Evan Bouchard is going to, with that power play usage, Evan Bouchard's going to put up like 80 points. Like Evan Bouchard is going to be like basically a point per game guy.
Yeah.
This year.
I can see it.
And it just would have been, like you could get the biggest sort of hitch in the giddy up for this roster solved if you weren't paying basically what is a backup goalie who you might not even be able to play as a backup goalie $5 million a year. So these two really, like, this is what comes down to roster building is, like, everything kind of works into itself. And the Oilers who should have Stanley Cup aspirations and their floor, I think, should be a conference finally. You have two of the best players ever.
Yeah.
You have an incredible supporting cast. You finally have the bodies on D to make it work, but you know your potential franchise defenseman is unsigned on August 22nd because of this.
Yeah.
That's alarming for me,
and
I don't know how they make it work because unless like you have to subtract from this roster, and Evan Bouchard's not gonna take a bridge deal at $3.5 million a year based on the season he just put up.
No, that is very true.
So what happens?
Yeah, it's a great question.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Man, if only Devin Bouchard was a Jeff Jackson client too, then they could totally and perfectly legally make that work. All right, moving on to a team, and it seems like goaltending comes down to... it seems like goaltending is the thing that the X factor here that we talk about with these teams, and I think no team more so than this. Is the Los Angeles Kings.
Yes.
I think they had a great offseason. They got Pierre-Luc Dubois, who is their guy. They still maintained a ton of depth. They were able to re-sign Gavrikov. You know, they were able to re-sign Mikey Anderson. You know, they have a, you know, Brant Clark is going to come up, you know, who's one of, if not the best defense prospect out there. Like, great. Their goaltending duo, though, is Phoenix Copley and Cam Talbot.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, looking at that, I see a team where I actually don't think the goaltending is going to be a big factor in the regular season.
Yes.
But I really worry about the playoffs. Because if you look at the regular season, your centers are Kopitar, Deneau, Dubois, in whatever order you want to put them.
Which
in.
Is just, for a playoff series?
Amazing.
That is, like, I don't even know what simile to use for that.
Yeah.
It is remarkable.
It is truly remarkable. And then you have guys like Fiala and Kempe on the wings, yep. So it's like, you know, you can score as
and
well.
And Trevor Moore. My boy.
Who's from Thousand Oaks, apparently.
He's from Thousand Oaks, California.
Yeah. And you have a very good defense corps led by Drew Doughty, who will be a great mentor for Brant Clark, just in terms of that swashbuckling style. Clark doesn't skate like Doughty did when he came up, but, I mean, he's super smart, especially offensively. So, you know, I don't think that'll be a problem. But, you know, Cam Talbot, he's had durability issues a lot. And, you know, he is sort of getting to the twilight of his career. You know, Copley, a perfectly serviceable backup, no problem there. But I do worry, like, if they play in the playoffs, a team like Edmonton or even, you know, like Dallas or Colorado, you have those amazing centers that all have shutdown capabilities, all great two-way guys. But, you know, those close playoff games, if you're facing Jake Oettinger and, you know, Cam Talbot's not 100% or you're relying on Copley, that's my concern for the Kings, is that could sort of short-circuit their long-term plans. But, you know, right now, again, for the regular season, I think this is a very good team, you know, maybe even a home ice advantage seed in the playoffs, but I do feel like this roster needs a little bit of massaging because there's a bit of dice rolling right now in terms of in the crease.
Well, Ryan, I just looked, and actually, we're totally wrong. They have David Rittich. So there you go.
Big save Dave.
Yep. So who else? I'm blown away by the roster construction. You know, I think the fact that they were able to get Gavrikov and he just ended up being like just a phenomenal piece in their puzzle. Like he seemed to fit perfectly for them.
Yeah.
It worked out great. You know, they have the combination of youth and veteran experience, and they have a center, a 1-2-3 of centers that is just a nightmare for any playoff. Like
totally.
Going into a 7-game series against Kopitar, like where a team can throw Kopitar, Dubois, or Deneau first. Pretty much all, like, if you play those guys 20 minutes a night each, that's 60 minutes.
That's right.
The whole game.
That's the game.
So you can have one of those guys on the ice at all times is terrifying. But their competency in net is just terrifying to me. If I was a Kings fan, like, because Talbot, like, his prime that we've seen in the last, not his prime, but, like, his sort of ceiling that we've seen in his sort of veteran arc, his veteran era, as the kids say, is like a 918. I mean, it was a 911 save percentage the last time he was in Minnesota when he was sort of their 1A or 1B. That's not great.
Yeah, and again, the concern is, like, if you play Edmonton in the playoffs and the Oilers get on the power play, where you have McDavid and Dreisaitl and Eugene Hopkins and Bouchard on the ice, and, you know, you only have four guys, like, all of a sudden, you know, that might become a problem where you lose a game 2-1, 3-2, whatever, because you couldn't get those stops at the last minute. Or, again, Dallas, Robertson, Hintz, guys like that.
I think even in the regular season, this might be a problem. Like, this...
Some nights it could be, yeah.
The regular season is long, man.
It's
82 games long. You're traveling for 41 games. And Cam Talbot played, like, 20 games last year. He broke down immediately. What happened? Like, literally, what happens if Cam Talbot, first preseason game, he tweaks something? Then... best case scenario, he's back, but he's dealing with that for the rest of the year. And I remember, like you said a couple seconds ago, like, what if you're in a playoff series and Callum Talbot's not 100%? No, they're going to be in a playoff series, and Callum Talbot won't be 100%, because that's just the way that it works. And he's 36 years old.
Yeah.
You know, like, and he missed most of last season. Like, this is a house of cards. Like,
And you know what? Maybe this is a team that makes a splash at the trade deadline.
But they did the same thing last year.
Yeah.
With Korpisalo. And it makes me wonder then why they decided to retain a little over $2 million of Ivan Provorov's salary. Because you add that together, they have $123,000 in cap space right now. you know, 2.1 million, you can go out, you can get a, you know, a 1B goaltender for that. You can maybe make some trades, but no, they're paying a guy to not play for them. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they really got a ton of value. Like, it doesn't make a ton of sense to me, but hey, you know, other, like, literally outside of the crease, this is a phenomenal team. This should be,
totally.
This should be, you know, money in the bank. They could challenge for the division lead depending on how things go in Edmonton,
yep.
But that crease terrified. If I was a Kings fan, I'd be scared like crazy.
Fair enough.
All right, San Jose, a team that we know is not going to be good.
Correct.
Erik Karlsson is not there anymore, but they got a bunch of very mid pieces for him,
yep.
Which is good. They were able to add Mikhail Granlin and also Mike Hoffman. So, look, this is going to be a team that... this is going to be a team that has, like, a bunch of 20-goal scorers, I think.
Yeah, because they got Anthony Duclair as well.
Exactly. They got Anthony Duclair, Jan Ruda as well on the back end, and he's not bad.
He will not score 20 goals.
He will not. No, I know.
He
yes.
might prevent 20 goals.
Hey, that'd be great.
Yeah.
And they also signed Mackenzie Blackwood and Kaapo Kähkönen, who are two very interesting young goaltenders, so
yeah.
We'll see how they sort of you know, branch out. But this, and they got Filip Zadina, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
But this is a very, very interesting team.
I mean, this is maybe going to be the worst team in the NHL.
You think so?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a year. I mean, you look at how many guys are on expiring deals.
Yes.
You know, either one-year deals or their contracts just come up.
We have LeBlanc.
Next summer.
We have LeBlanc,
yeah.
Hoffman, Duclair, Barabanov, Lindholm, Zadina's an RFA,
mm-hmm.
Radim Šimák,
yeah.
And Kaapo Kähkönen.
Yeah, so this is very much, to me at least, a year where you throw a bunch of guys out there. You know, you got some veterans like
yes.
Hoffman and Duclair that obviously have goal-scoring punch, mm-hmm. and that will help. You still have Logan Couture and Thomas Hertl,
yeah.
Two very professional veterans, very solid, you know, top-line guys. But it's all about the future in San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not...
Absolutely.
Know, mince words
yeah, yeah.
here. You know, I want to see you know, what William Eklund can do
absolutely.
On this squad. And, you know, on the back end, obviously there's no Erik Karlsson. It's going to be a lot more defensive. You know, Jan Ruda will help in that respect. You know, Kaapo Kähkönen, it'll be interesting to see what he can do in net. But, you know, I'm looking at San Jose, and this is sort of my, like, my perfect narrative.
Okay.
Is right now the number one prospect in the 2024 draft is Max Celebrini.
Absolutely, yeah.
He's from Vancouver,
mm-hmm.
but lived in the Bay Area.
He did.
And played for the San Jose Junior Sharks because his dad works for the Golden State Warriors
mm-hmm.
In sports medicine. So you could have a San Jose Junior Shark drafted by
yes.
the actual San Jose Sharks. That, to me, you know, you pair him and Will Smith, who they got in the
yep.
first round this year and is going to Boston College, that gives you two awesome centers
mm-hmm.
for your future. We know the Sharks are rebuilding. They're starting to get some good guys in the pipeline.
Yeah, you know,
Philip Bystedt.
Bystedt, yeah.
Yeah, Bortolo will be a player that I'd like to see him
mm-hmm.
get some NHL action this year.
Yeah.
And we see what he can do.
Kasper Holtonen as well.
Yeah, he's actually going to the OHL.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
for the London
they
Knights.
Have some guys in their system.
So they've got some guys. Yeah,
yeah.
I thought they had a very nice draft.
Yes.
And Haltonen is part of that. I actually saw him this summer at the World Junior Summer Showcase. So this is very much, for me, like, it's not a lost year,
mm-hmm.
Because I think it's kind of by design.
Yes.
But this is a year where I if I'm a Sharks fan, I want that number one pick overall.
Oh, yeah.
And that would make a world of difference. I think, you know, they're a seller at the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they can get some sweet second round picks.
Totally.
Oh, they can, this is basically a second round pick harvesting. Like,
yes.
Like this, they're organ harvesting, but for second round picks here. I mean,
exactly.
They can trade, like, think about they can trade Granlin, LeBlanc, Hoffman, Duclair,
yeah.
maybe even Barabanov if they want, like, at the deadline.
Yeah.
Think about all the sort of, like, B-level prospects and second round picks they can
exactly.
get for those guys. Oh,
Mike,
yeah.
Mike Greer can get a bounty.
Oh, yeah. And then one of those guys hits. Maybe.
Exactly.
Bob's your uncle.
Exactly.
It'd be great. My take is that if, like, this season has been designed to have Max Celebrini wearing a San Jose Sharks jersey.
Get him back in teal.
Yeah, get him back in teal and
yeah.
to have him in the system because, like, this is going to be one of the worst teams in the league, but it's also, like, there's some very sort of intriguing players here.
Yeah.
And I do, I, I hate to relate it back to the Leafs, but like they do, this team reminds me of the 2015-16 Leafs, uh-huh. like the tank year Leafs,
right?
Where Leo Komarov was their all-star participant and stuff. Where like they finished in last place, uh-huh. but they finished in last place with like 69 points. Uh-huh. Like that, which I believe is the highest, I believe that's the most points a last place in the league finisher has finished in the cap era.
Interesting.
And I feel like this is going to be, they're not a great team, uh-huh. but they have enough like veteran guys who have track records of 20, you know, 20 goals and stuff yeah. where they can, they'll finish with like 65 points, still be last. Yeah. But like, and they'll get the job done, but like it'll be with dignity. You know?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
There's a long way of saying they will be last place of dignity.
Yes.
All right, the Seattle Kraken, the surprise of last season, mm-hmm. the sort of Cinderella story of last season,
yeah.
the second year of their existence after just a excruciatingly mid first year. Like just, oh man, they were just apathetic team, and they come out and it's a, you know, a very well-liked, you know, like a team that just plays some great hockey. They do it by committee,
yeah.
and they win a playoff series. They knock out the defending cup champs in the first round. It was supposed to be a bloodbath, instead it's not. And they lost a couple pieces this year, but they made some interesting signings. You know, they sort of retained a lot of their talent. You know, Vince Dunn signed an extension, but they also have the next season of Matt Beniers
yep.
to look forward to here. They got, you know, Pierre-Edouard Bellemare, which is interesting. And then also Kailer Yamamoto has a bit of a dice roll.
Washington State native.
Exactly.
Kailer Yamamoto. Yeah. Seattle's very interesting to me because they're at that point now where, like, I wonder where some of the young guys fit. And, like, obviously Matty Beniers, I don't count him in that respect because he's obviously
entrenched. He's their franchise face.
He's their guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's their number one center, you know, Calder Trophy winner. But kids like Shane Wright and even Ryker Evans on the back end,
yeah.
you know, Ryker Evans finished the season very strong with Coachella Valley. Shane Wright was there as well, helping them get to the AHL final.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they have so
too.
Many,
That's great. Yeah,
they have so many guys up front where it's like, where do the kids fit in? And, you know, the defense corps, same deal, you know, for Ryker Evans. But I'm very intrigued to see, you know, what does Matty Beniers do for an encore? What does Vince Dunn do for an encore? Because
yeah.
those are the guys that are kind of your marquee guys right now. And, you know, you're right. It is by committee. And Jared McCann, you got to toss him in there.
40-goal scorer.
40-goal
yeah.
scorer. So they do have those high-end elements. But it's going to be interesting to see, now that they're not catching teams by surprise,
mm-hmm.
I think they'll probably finish about where they finished
yeah.
last year. I think this is a playoff team.
Absolutely.
It's maybe a wild card team,
mm-hmm.
But they clearly know who they are now. Dave Hakstol, he had that reputation in the NCAA in particular where, you know, his North Dakota teams, they were better in the second half than the first half. It's like the players needed, because obviously there's more turnover in college,
yeah.
But players needed to figure out, you know, sort of his system
yeah.
and what he liked. And once they did, it was kind of full steam ahead. So I think we saw that with Seattle last year where it all kind of clicked for them where it's like, okay, this is Dave Hakstol hockey. We get it.
Mm-hmm.
And they executed.
Yeah.
So now it's a matter of, can you take another step or are you still kind of that scrappy, like, don't want to play them in the first round kind of team where, yeah, you've got some high-end elements, but maybe you're waiting for, you know, a Shane Wright, a Ryker Evans to sort of, you know, take that next step where you've got some real firepower. And if we're thinking long-term, even Edward Chalet, their first rounder
yes.
this year. So a very interesting team, dangerous. I don't think they're, you know, a division champ. But again, I think they're going to be one of those teams where, like, I don't know, like, we drew them in the first round. We're not really happy with that.
Yes. Yeah. It is it's one of those, I always look at it as like a team looking at the roster in the first round, just going, like, oh,
yeah.
We got to play. By the time you get to game five and the bruises are adding up, you're like, oh,
yeah.
I got to go against them. The biggest thing for me is A, goaltending. Like, they were able to make the playoffs and do pretty well, even though, their duo of Driedger and Martin Jones, I believe they finished under 900, or at least I know Jones did. They were hovering around 900 for Driedger. If he can bounce back to even like a 9-10 goaltender,
yeah.
like that really changes. They were able, the way that they were able to succeed last year with below average goaltending.
Mm.
If he's able to bounce back to like a little bit over league average, like he was a Vezina, you know, nominee a little while ago.
Grubauer.
Grubauer, yes. I'm saying, like, that is a game changer, man. Like, that is, that I think that that can really help them take a next step.
Yeah.
Another thing, too, is they are dangerously close to ruining Shane Wright. They've lucked into a prospect who should not have been available to where they were at the place that they were going to pick him, or the place they were drafting. They locked into a guy who, for you know, like the entire year, we were like, he's going first overall. He went to fourth in their first sort of draft after being a team, and they were able to nab him, or their second draft, but either way. And they put him, like, Shane Wright played on, what, four teams last year? He played on Seattle, World Juniors, Coachella. He never
went.
Yeah, in Windsor, but he never went. Yeah, because he never went back to
Kingston.
To Kingston.
No, they traded his right. They knew.
Yeah, they knew that he was. But like that for a young player, that is a lot of turnover. That's a lot of different systems to get into. That's a lot of different roles you're playing. Mm-hmm. He's playing. You go from being a top line guy who's like an offensive catalyst being relied on. He's out in the last 2 minutes of a game trying to score the goal to being sort of like a borderline healthy scratch. This, that, the other. They really need to be like, all right, we are like you are going to make this team out of camp. We are keeping you, and we are going to use you. And this is a guy. He went fourth overall. This is a guy who has nothing but success under his belt in every other sort of system. And you lucked into getting him. You have to make him work.
Yeah, and it's a tough situation because you have so many forwards under contract that are contributors. And I think that things ended well for Shane, right?
Yes.
Like, he captained the World Junior team. That was a great experience. And then that long run with Coachella Valley in the playoffs, that was great
for him. What happened
in
between there?
Well, Windsor lost in the first round.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was I mean, that was just bizarre.
That was insane.
Yeah. I mean, things happen. It's the OHL.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that they made the best out of the situation they could last year, given that, you know, he was still junior eligible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be interesting to see. Like, it's like you don't want to wish injury on anyone, but it's like you almost hope that, like, Wright can find a spot in training camp. But, I mean, they've got a bunch of guys under contract up front.
So
it's like, what do you do? I think that's a big challenge for the organization is figuring out the right path. And he is still young. Let's not forget.
Yes, he is. But the thing with him
The
thing with him for me is that, okay, if he doesn't make the team out of training camp, because I believe he's OHL, or he's AHL eligible now.
I'd have to look at that because he had exceptional status. So he got to the OHL early, but then there was also the pandemic year. So I'm not sure how they count that.
Is he AHL eligible now?
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, I think he's. I remember hearing that. I believe he's AHL eligible now.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't make the team out of camp, you keep him in the AHL for at least the first half of the season.
Oh, for sure.
You do not, because what they did wrong with this guy is they yo-yoed him. Whether they yo-yoed him up and down between the press box and the ice, or Coachella Valley, and like the biggest thing for young players is consistency and it is structure, and he had none of that. He was think about all the amount of times he had to go to a new apartment or just like learn new daily routines, where I'd get my coffee in the morning, stuff like that, right? That matters to these players.
Yeah.
And especially for a young guy who has a ton of expectations on his shoulders. So if he doesn't make the team out of training camp, you keep him on Coachella Valley, you give him top 6 minutes, because you can in the AHL. That's the point of the AHL.
Yeah.
It's a developmental league, as much as the Chicago Wolves don't want to admit that.
Right.
And you let him gain the confidence of being a professional hockey player who is a productive professional hockey player.
Yeah.
And then if something happens and you feel he's ready, then you call him up and you don't play him 8 minutes a night. You at least give him like 12, 13, give him, like, shelter him a little bit so you can, but you need, like, for all of the great stuff they did last year, and obviously it was a happy end because he eventually found some consistency in a playoff run, but, like, I think they handled that situation as poorly as they could have, and outside of keeping him in the press box all season, basically, they need to handle this better, and they need to give him some consistency, and I think that's hopefully what they're going to do. Ron Francis is a smart guy.
Yeah, exactly. I think they did what they could last year. It was an awkward situation just in terms of where he could and could not play. And I think the press box time early on probably helped just in terms of him getting lessons and being able to literally sit next to Ron Francis.
It was a live film session, basically.
Totally. Yeah. So I think there was some benefits there. But I think this year will be a lot more clear cut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. All right, now we go over to the Canucks.
Yes.
And the thing about the Canucks is that they actually had a pretty good offseason.
Yeah.
I was surprised. I was, you know, not expecting much, and they ended up having a pretty good offseason. So, not a ton of huge moves here, but obviously, you know, they get Teddy Bluger. Pia Sutter, I think, was a really good, just sort of like under the radar signing here. They added, my favorite, what's it called? Like Italian last name, Philip Di Giuseppe.
Oh, yeah.
You know, every time he gets sent down, I tweet the it's Italian American discrimination meme from Sopranos, which is great. And then they also signed Carson Soucy, Ian Cole. Mm-hmm. Matt Irwin's not going to do a ton, but Philip Roenick is in the fold, obviously from the deadline last year.
Yeah.
So this is I don't think this team will make the playoffs, but I do think that this is definitely a better roster than they had last year.
I agree, and for me, my eye first went to Soucy and Cole because they obviously make the Canucks harder to play against on the back end.
Yeah.
Those are good defenders. Soucy obviously brings a ton of size. Ian Cole, a ton of experience. You know, that allows the Roenicks and the Quinn Hugheses of the world to just do their thing.
Yeah.
So I think the blue line makes more sense now. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big believer in Thatcher Demko.
Oh, yeah.
So I think with a better blue line in front of him, we'll see better results. And then, up front, I mean, Elias Pettersson had just like a sneaky great year.
He had a 100-point year last year.
He had a 100-point year.
We didn't talk about it at all. Elias Pettersson hit 100 points.
Yeah.
And we didn't talk about it at all.
It was really not a story because everything else in Vancouver was a tire fire.
Yes.
But I think there's a lot more sort of clarity there now. And, yeah, I think,
Well, clarity in his on-ice role, not clarity in his contract.
Right.
Because he's going in, he's an RFA at the end of next year.
Yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't seem like they're close. They don't have any money to pay him right now, so.
We shall see.
Yeah.
Right? We got time for that.
That's true. We got a month. It's fine.
Yeah. But I think this is sort of like a middle-of-the-pack team where it's like, they probably don't make the playoffs. But, if they did, I wouldn't be surprised. I feel like on paper, I'm always a little higher in the Canucks than they end up doing in real life because I see you see the names like Pettersson and Hughes and Demko, and it's like, well, you've got all the elements of a successful team. You've got a great number one center. You've got a great number one defenseman, young, but still, all the talent in the world. You've got a great young goaltender, so it's just a matter of filling the pieces out around there. I don't know if they're quite there yet, but I think that if anything, this will just be like a less turbulent season. And, we'll see what Rick Tocchet can do with this bunch.
I really don't have a ton of belief in Rick Tocchet as a head coach. He's had a bunch of chances in other places, and he's done nothing with it. And I think at a certain point, it's just like, what are you? So I wonder how much, I think with a coach that had like a real identity and a real sort of like culture that he would, impart, then maybe that you could squeeze, some blood from the stone here. But I just don't think Tocchet is able to do that. But this is a better roster. It also depends on, Ilya Mikheyev, whether he's going to be, because he adds a great sort of speed element. He's a great penalty killer. Uh-huh. You're also paying him a lot of money. So that'll work really well. Exactly. It's just, it's a very interesting roster. And the thing that it always comes back to me with here is they have a lot of these like $3 to $4.5 million third line guys, like the Beauvilliers, even Besser at this point, but the Beauvilliers, Garlands, like guys like that.
Yeah.
But then they made some sneaky good signings, like getting rid of the buyout of Oliver Ekman-Larsson is going to be catastrophic for them moving forward. But if you're talking just this year, we're doing a season preview, so this year. That gave them a lot of flexibility. It also just, it clearly wasn't working out there.
Yeah.
And I think that both sides now get a fresh start, which is nice. OAL's start is a lot fresher considering that he won't have the, half of his salary, dead weight carrying around for the next decade or so.
Yeah.
This is a team that I think is going to finish fifth in the division.
Yeah.
Have more of a fighting chance. But when it comes to the future of this team, that's like the last place they should be.
Mm-hmm.
This should be a team like the Sharks who are like, we want Macklin Celebrini.
Yeah.
This is the second straight, homegrown
Vancouver kid. Yeah, totally.
That they're like, maybe we can get two dates of home playoff revenue out of. So we're not interested.
Right,
But hey, look, credit where credit is due. This was a great offseason for them, and I think that they did a lot. I think they improved a roster that really need improving. It's just that they're with the financials, this is their peak.
yeah.
of this core, how they're able to make it work cap-wise, this is the peak of that roster, and it's not, and like we're talking about them maybe finishing fifth in their division. It's tough. Yeah. All right, the defending cup champs, the Vegas Golden Knights.
Indeed.
They were able to, I mean, they did have to lose some Riley Smith, you know, Teddy Bluger, Phil Kessel, guys like that, but they were able to keep a ton of the guys intact that they made. Aiden Hill is still in effect here. Logan Thompson, I believe, is making just above Logan Thompson making just above league men. This is still a very, very, very good hockey team who play just some of the most bone crushing violent hockey I have ever seen. In the cup final. What do we think about the defending cup champs here?
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I almost feel like the regular season might be a little understated because, I mean, Mark Stone obviously still has, like, health issues that he's going through, so who knows how much he'll play, but clearly a warrior because he gutted it out to get that Stanley Cup. I think Jack Eichel, you know, we saw peak Eichel
in
the playoffs.
We particularly saw
in the Stanley Cup final. Oh. Where, I mean, he was just, like,
and wasn't
legendary.
It just gorgeous to watch?
Like, it was gorgeous. So we've seen, you know, ever since Eichel was, you know, right behind McDavid in draft rankings, I think he really sort of played up to his pinnacle. And, I mean, he can certainly do that for years to come. I mean, he's still a young guy. I think that it'll be interesting to see what the tandem of Aiden Hill and Logan Thompson can do.
That's a great tandem.
Over 82 games. It's sort of uncharted territory, really. I mean, I guess we saw most of it. It was a weird year, right? Last year.
Oh, they had four different goalies.
Yeah, it was Logan Thompson, and then it was Aiden
It was
Hill.
Logan Thompson who was making a case for the Calder for himself until he got hurt.
Yeah.
And then they brought, like, it seemed like everyone they added into their crease worked out. Like, Brassois tended the fort, but then they got Jonathan Quick, and he put up like eight spiteful games of like great hockey, and then Aiden Hill
carried them to the cup.
Aiden Hill put forth one of the best goaltending performances we have ever seen, and
the only
reason he didn't win the Conn Smythe is because he started like the second game of round two.
Yeah,
that's the only reason.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think this is a team where they can kind of be measured in the regular season, and I mean, they can certainly go for it again if they're
absolutely
healthy.
Absolutely,
as you said, like, they really didn't lose much, and you know, the experience that guys get, you know, like a Nick Hague, for example, is awesome. It's really hard to go back to back, especially, you know, going through the physicality where, you know, you talked about how bone crunching they were, but they also took a lot of bone crunching.
Everyone was dead after that series.
Yeah, so, I mean, they can give it and they can take it, and that's why they won ultimately. But I think this team could certainly make another long run. I think they could win the division, but they might also be in that case where they're like, we don't have to win the division.
Yes.
They are kind of a win and get in, or sorry, get in and win team, a la the Kings when they were winning cups. So it's going to be interesting.
And even the, like, they really do remind me of the 2021, 2022 Lightning, of where, like, they didn't finish top of their division, or, you know, they were still, and yet here they are making all the way to the cup final through veteran, like, this
They're
is
like, we know what we need to do.
Look, let's call a spade a spade. Half this roster is going to be injured for most of the year. Like, it really is.
Yeah,
like,
they got to recover.
Mark Stone is gonna miss a bunch of time. Eichel will probably play most of the games. But, like, all of these guys, like, even, like, the Marchessos, the Carlsons, Nick Waugh, Brett Howden, but Keegan Kolesar, guys like that, they're all going to miss time. And their depth will be tested, but they still have that blue line.
Yeah.
That all three pairs can play 20 minutes a night.
Yeah.
And that is what got that was the difference between them and Florida was that Florida had to play Montour and Forsling and Ekblad 27-30 minutes a night, whereas Vegas could almost just run their lines.
Yeah.
And on the back end. And so it just I think this is I think they'll finish like third in the division. I think we'll go like, "Oh, did Vegas fall off?" And then we'll go into the playoffs and be like, "We can like just beat the crap out of you and we're good to go."
Yeah.
All right, so that's the division. So Ryan, before we sign off here, I want your list, like your one to eight teams in this division.
Yeah.
So I want your division.
Yes.
Like rankings, and then I want, and then I guess sort of maybe we can, which teams you think will make the playoffs?
Yeah, I think that this could be a five team. I think they could.
You think so, huh?
Get both wild cards. Yeah, like thinking about the Central.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of top heavy. So I'm going to go Edmonton, Vegas, LA, Calgary, Seattle, Vancouver, Anaheim, San Jose.
Yeah, I think that's good. And then, and you think that those top five teams are going to make it?
Yeah, I think Seattle and I guess Calgary will be the wild cards.
Yes. Okay. So I'm going to go. I'm going to go Edmonton, LA, Vegas, and then I'm going to go Seattle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Seattle, Calgary, Anaheim, or Seattle, Calgary, Vancouver, Anaheim, San Jose.
Yeah.
And I think Calgary is going to miss.
Fair.
But I do think that I'm putting my money on Vegas making a run again.
Interesting. All right.
So yeah, so there we go. That's the Pacific Division.
Boom.
It's a lot of fun. We will be back next week for the Central, and obviously going on from there, we'll be doing every division. Best time of the year, Ryan. See you next week.